More than a billion people worldwide are affected by what's called neglected diseases, those that don't get a lot of public attention. Some examples are tuberculosis, malaria, leprosy. Over at the University of BC, there's a team of scientists working on ways to help people living with those illnesses. It's called the Neglected Global Disease Initiative. Today, that team is getting a big boost from a new partnership, and the goal is to create and deliver drugs cheaply to developing countries. To tell us more, we're joined by Kishore Wasan. He's the director of the Neglected Global Disease Initiative. Long title, but he's at UBC. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing, Kurt?
Not bad.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So can you elaborate on, we touched a little bit on these, but these neglected global diseases?
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for having me again. So what happened here at the university is about a year and a half ago, a group of us got together and kind of realized that we were all doing research kind of in the basements of our labs and, you know, scurried away in different parts of campus looking at these neglected diseases. And these are diseases where the impact on people is huge, but the resources to fund the work needed to treat these diseases is very, very small. So we're talking millions of people that are affected by things like tuberculosis, malaria, HIV/AIDS, which is not really considered a neglected disease, but still prevalent, and parasitic infections like leishmaniasis. So what we did...
Can I just back up a bit? Why is the funding so low for something that's so big?
Because the reason why the funding is so low is that these diseases are kind of off the map. People don't know about it. They're happening in countries in South Africa, in India, in Bangladesh, in the Sudan. And so people don't really know about it, as well as those populations, if you develop a drug, they don't have the resources to pay for the medications and make a profit. So what pharmaceutical company is going to want to do that? And so that's why they're neglected.
I see. Okay. So tell me about this new partnership that you've entered into.
Yeah. So you know, we made some of these big discoveries in our laboratories, but we needed to find a way to practically get it into the field. And so we've partnered now with the Center for Drug Research and Development, and CDRD is an organization that provides drug development expertise and infrastructure to help researchers and scientists in academia and health research institutions to advance their discoveries ultimately to a product that can be used in the clinic and ultimately to patients around the world.
And how did they do that?
Well, what they have is they have a set of infrastructure. They have drug development platforms, as well as they have machines and tools, as well as different types of personnel that can help take an early discovery that we make, let's say, in one of our laboratories, do the additional tests that need to be done so that they can be then ultimately tested in man. And, you know, we make those early discoveries in our laboratories, but we don't have the resources to be able to do that. So they have those horses, if you want to say, to help us move things forward.
And how does that tie in with getting the drug companies to be on board?
Yeah, so what happens is that once we get to a stage where we can actually get a drug to a point where they can help mankind. You know, the big pharmaceutical industry now has many of them have global access programs, you know, Kurt, and these programs enter in with partnerships with non-governmental organizations like the Gates Foundation and Wellcome Trust, and together by partnering with those organizations, they're able to reduce the cost of the medications so that they're actually more affordable for people in the developing world.
And I think this took the headlines with HIV/AIDS medication in Africa. Is that right?
That's correct.
So give us an example. What happened there? What were the obstacles that they had to overcome? And how did that money start flowing and make a difference?
Yeah, so what has happened there is that they didn't have the infrastructure on the ground in those communities in order to be able to get those medications to the people. So, for instance, they didn't have the proper personnel to be able to administer the drugs. They didn't even have the places like roads to be able to get the medication transported there. They didn't have proper refrigeration and so on and so forth. So through these what they call private-public partnerships, mm-hmm. they worked together to build those infrastructures into place, got personnel on the ground so that HIV medication, which is very effective, could actually be delivered to people properly, could be used properly, and they could monitor the results.
And did some of this funding from the Gates Foundation, for example, help alleviate some of the costs involved?
Yeah. So the Gates Foundation has been involved in this. They've done a wonderful job. Other non-governmental organizations have been involved, the Wellcome Trust in the UK, as well as companies like Pfizer and GSK, so big farm companies as well.
Mm-hmm.
And really, they've all worked together in partnership to do things. So this is really the new model now, Kurt. It's, you know, what we call essential medicines, and we hope to plug into that in the near future.
So that's HIV/AIDS. What's the next big drug or big illness that you're going to tackle next? What would be the next big example?
Yeah, so the two areas we're looking at, one is leishmaniasis. Right now we've got... So leishmaniasis is a parasitic infection that it comes from the sandfly, and what happens is, and this is usually in bad, poor sanitation conditions, places where the sanitation in the countries are terrible, the sandfly infects you, stings you, and releases this parasite, which goes all through your body and ultimately can kill you if not treated within weeks to months. And there are some great drugs out there, but they're not cost effective. They're hard to store in tropical temperatures, and they're kind of expensive. And so we're hoping to develop cheaper ones that will be below cost, that we can get to more people, and they're stable in the tropical environment.
Well, good luck with that. That sounds like a great cause, so we wish you the best on that.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Okay. Take care.
Kishore Wasan is the director of the Neglected Global Disease Initiative at UBC.